Every now and then we need a deep fried hamburger and french fries and extra sweet, almost thick root beer syrup drink. Every now and then you need a little something that's unhealthy. But is there anybody in their right mind that would eat that food 3 meals a day, every day? Anybody want a hamburger and terribly, awfully greasy french fries? And the buns even, they were griddled on butter. The griddles, you know the griddles I'm talking about? You throw butter on there and the buns were grilled too. So consuming that kind of food every day, is that open for anybody? Anybody want to do that? No, why not? It tastes good, but you can't do it all the time, right? Can't do it all the time. Because at some point in our life, we have to be concerned for our health. At some point, we have to be. I do believe that I could eat Krispy Kreme donuts every day. I love them that much. But I'm not going to. Because I do want to live to see grandkids, Lord willing, one day. I want to try to get to that point. I want to try to make it. And our kids, we take them to the doctor. And your kids, you take them to the doctor. And why do you do that? Do you take your kids to the doctor because you just want to see them sick all the time? You take them to the doctor so that they can be healthy, so that they can live a long, healthy life. And you take them to the doctor because you love them. And my point is we take our kids to the doctor because we love them, and yet we don't bring them to church because we don't love them. We don't bring kids to Sunday school because we don't love them. We don't bring kids to singing because we don't love them. We don't emphasize reading the Bible in our homes because we don't love our kids. This life is temporary. Eternity is forever. And if you loved your kids, you would want to spend eternity with them. And if you love your family and your mom and your dad and your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and everybody else, and if you really loved them, you would want to spend eternity with them. And spiritual health matters a lot more than physical health. Because I could start today and I could eat a Krispy Kreme and then I could eat Griff's every day, and then, you know, a few years I'd be dead. My soul's going to live forever. I can't kill it. Your soul is going to live forever. You can't kill it. So why is it that we care so very much about our physical health and so very little about our spiritual health? This morning, I want to talk to you just a minute from Colossians chapter number 3 on how important it is that we are spiritually healthy. Because so many people today, and I believe that it's even right here in this church, we are not spiritually healthy. We're not. Colossians chapter number 3, if you have made your way over there, we are going to begin in verse number 1. Colossians number 3, verse number 1. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1. Paul said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affection on things above, and not on things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, covetousness, which is idolatry, which these things sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience." And we're going to jump down to verse number 10. He said, "And have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to come and gather at your house. Lord, we thank you so much for the song service, for the good Sunday school this morning. Lord, we ask as we look into your word, God, that you could help us so we could realize exactly how malnourished we are spiritually. And God, the importance of a spiritual relationship with you, Lord, a healthy relationship with you and your word and your people. And God, above all, the importance of eternity and the certainty of death, God, that it could be made clear this morning through your word and through your spirit. Lord, be with us, meet with us, and help us this morning through this service. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I went to the doctor here a while back. I had a cough I just could not shake. I had it for 2 weeks. Just couldn't get rid of it. So I went to the doctor. Come on. oh, I went to the doctor. And the doctor gave me this medicine. And on the front of the medicine packet, and y'all have done this too, on the front of the medicine packet, there was this long word that started with a P and ended with an IDE. I don't know what was in between. I'm sure there was an X and a Y and Z in there somewhere. This long word. I had no idea what it was. No idea. You know what I did whenever I got that packet of medicine? Opened up the first pill. Y'all, swatted right there. Had no idea what I was consuming. Anybody else do that? Or is it just me? I think y'all do it too. It ain't just me. I don't Google things before I take it. Hang out right here just a minute, okay? I don't Google things before I take them, before I drink them, before I eat them. I'm just not going to. I assume that whenever I go to the doctor, and we have some very intelligent people in here today, that they're going to treat me right. That they're going to desire for me to be healthy. That they're going to desire for the medicine not to kill me. That they're going to give me something that's going to help me. And whenever I get the medicine, I take it. Because I believe that they have my best interest at heart. But so many times in our life, we don't believe that God has our best interest at heart. We believe that God says things, that God's word is here just for us to have something to casually read through. We believe that the church meets so that we can stand up here and have a social get together, and so that we can eat and sleep and fellowship and just have a good time. That is not what church is about. And the Bible is not casual reading. The Bible is spiritual food. Prayer is not optional. Prayer is communication with God. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. In studying for this, I was trying to get on the level of being spiritually healthy. Did y'all know that most things grown in the garden are pretty healthy? Corn, green beans, tomatoes, squash, they're pretty healthy. Problem is, we deep fry everything. But if all you did was ate tomatoes all the time, you would wither up and die. Make sense? If all you ate was tomatoes all the time, you wouldn't make it. Tomatoes is something that's healthy, and tomatoes is something that your body can use. But it needs more. How many of you like meat? Protein. Emily cooked a brisket yesterday. Oh, it was good. But if all you ate all day, every day was brisket, you probably wouldn't make it. I don't know that for sure. I would love to try that though. But if all you ever ate was meat, you probably wouldn't make it. Because your body needs, your body needs substance. Your body needs proteins. Your body needs fats. Your body needs carbs. Your body needs vitamins and minerals. Your body needs all of these things. And they don't have a one size fits all. Outside of the hospital where, you know, they give them through a liquid tube. But we can't grow a one-size-fits-all. We can't grow a potato that has everything that we need to thrive in it. Now, we can survive. We can keep ourselves from dying. But we cannot thrive on simply one thing. And the gospel is the same way. We cannot thrive spiritually whenever our spiritual life is single-minded and we have blinders on. If we only attend church on Sunday mornings, we are not spiritually healthy. If we only read the New Testament, we are not spiritually healthy. If we only pray before meals, we are not spiritually healthy. We have blinders on. We are going in one direction. We are consuming one part of the food pyramid and everything else just, oh well. We are not spiritually healthy if we are single-minded. If we have one thing going on. The importance is diversity. Diversity in your diet and diversity in your spiritual life. Attendance to church is important. Reading the Bible is important. Praying to God is important. Fellowshipping with believers is important. Praise and worship is important. But if you have all of it, you can thrive. If you have all of it, you can grow. If you have all of it, we can be what God wants us to be, which, Lord, have mercy. Don't we all want to be there? Don't we all want to be what God wants us to be? Don't we all want to be a growing church, a thriving church, a church that's on fire for God? We can't be that church and not sing. We can't be that church and not pray. We can't be that church and have nearby an empty church on Wednesday nights. We can't be that church and not fellowship with one another. We can't. It's impossible. So Paul said, seek ye first. Seek those things which are above. Jump down, if you would, to verse number 10. He said, you have put on a new man. You have put on a new man. Sometimes I wish that I could go back and I could start over with, you know, my healthy life. Because in high school, I may would have lifted. No, I wouldn't have lifted weights more. I just wouldn't. But I may have took care of myself more. Right now, every time I squat down and I stand back up, my knees snap, crackle, and pop. And that's from running up and down a basketball court for forever. Whenever I go to pick up on stuff, my back hurts, and it'll hurt for 2 or 3 days after that. That's from cutting so much firewood. And if I could go back, I would probably try my best to find an easier way to do it. Because knowing what I know now, I think I could change a few things to make my life now just a little bit easier. Spiritually, we're going to look back at our life in 20 years and we're going to say, I wish I could have done it different. We're going to look back and say, I wish I would have fellowshiped with believers. We're going to look back and say, I wish that I would have been able. I wish that I would have been... I wish I could have saw God worthy of praise. I wish I could have valued the Bible. I wish that I could have emphasized church to my kids. I wish that I could change it. I can't go back and undo all of the damage that was done to my knees. I can't go back and undo all of the damage done to my back. And in 20 years, we're not going to be able to go back and undo all the damage done to our church, to our family. We're not going to be able to go back and say, oh, if somebody just would have preached a little harder, my kid would have made a profession of faith before they died. If somebody would have prayed a little more. If the Sunday school teachers were a little bit better, maybe my kid wouldn't be, you know, laid out of church completely. Verse number 11. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. These are the things that we should embody as Christians, as church members. These are the things that we should have and that we should show and prove to others. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. We could stop right here in verse 11 and 12. And we could work the rest of our life and we may never get there. That is hard. It is tough. But Adeem was saying in Sunday school this morning that he's got two of the smartest kids there ever was. And I didn't disagree with him, although mine's probably smarter. But I didn't disagree with him. He said that one of his daughters had made a B. And it's the first D, a B ever she'd ever made. And it upset her. And I'm sitting here scratching my head because I was tickled to death with a D I got in chemistry in college. And here she is with a B and she's upset. I just blew my mind. My wife was that way. She had to make A's on everything. Just had to. And she would work. Oh my goodness, she would work. Me and Romeo, we'd stay up roping cows or riding horses or playing video games. And Emily, she'd be stay up reading textbooks. Then she'd get mad when I make a better grade than her. But she would work. Oh my goodness, she would work. Because anything that we enjoy, anything that we want to be good at, we have to work for it. If you want to be a good Christian, we got to work for it. If we want to live for God, we got to work for it. If you want a successful marriage, you got to work for it. If you want to raise your kids right, you got to work for it. It ain't easy. If you want to be an influence to those around you, you got to work for it. If you want a church that in 15 years the doors are not boarded up, you got to work for it. Because let me tell you what they're using churches for today. And this church is about the right size. And if the doors were to close for some reason, it could potentially happen. But several churches in central Louisiana have been recently closed and boarded up because they didn't have enough people to keep the lights turned on. So they closed the church. They sold the property. Sold it for very, very little. And the company came in and bought four of them. And they took all the church pews out. They took all the lights down. They put recessed lights in all the ceiling. They pulled all the carpet up and they laid down a hardwood basketball court and they turned them into community gymnasiums. They took four churches in central Louisiana and they turned them into community gymnasiums. You know why? Because the community had more of a need for a gym than they did a church. How close is our community to that? How close are we? If you ask your kids, hey, do you want to go play basketball up at Pine or do you want to go to church? Which one are they going to say? Don't lie to yourself. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't lie to yourself. They're going to want to go play ball. Because they don't love God the way that they ought to yet. The problem is, as kids, we input into them. Right? We input into them. This morning, Emily had an accident with a dress and the coffee grounds got all over. Anyway, she went to change. And I was trying to pick out what kind of clothes I was going to wear. And I had a bright gold tie to go with this. I was feeling springy this morning. Anyway, I had it wrapped around my neck. I said, hey, darling, what's this look like? She said, ugly as sin. So guess what Bailey had on her mind the rest of the morning? Whenever we got to church, Miss Jan and Miss Kathy were standing outside. We were a little bit early, and Bailey said, look at my dress, and she spun around. And I said, Bailey, what do I look like? Guess what she said? Ugly as sin, Daddy. Sure did. It stuck. And things that we say around our kids, they stick. Things that we tell our kids, they are so impressionable, and they soak it all up. We think that they're going to miss it. They're going to miss their memory verse, but they're going to catch that bad word you say. They're going to miss those Jesus songs, but they're going to catch it whenever you play something on the radio you're not supposed to. Kids catch it all. What are we inputting into our kids? What are we allowing them to absorb, to see, to hear, to be a part of? Are they more involved in the things of God or the things of the world? Are they more involved in Call of Duty or Sunday school? Are they more involved in the internet or the Bible? Because every action has a result. It has a consequence. Every decision, every choice. And if as adults we treat ourselves like God is not important, like church is not important, like Sunday school is not important, like praise and worship songs are not important, like reading the Bible is not important, like prayer is not important. If we treat God that way in our life, guess what our kids are seeing? Why do you think there ain't young people in churches no more? We are tremendously blessed here. It ain't like this everywhere. Some of us went to revival down in... where was that at? Picayune, I think, last year. We were going to hear a man preach. None of us had ever heard him before. And several of us, I think there was 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of us from the church went. And we walked down there and walked into the church. And it wasn't bright and pretty like this. It was old oak building. It was pretty. But we walked in. I was the youngest person in the building by 40 years. The next youngest person came with us. It was tough. The service was a great service to be a part of, but in a few years, that church is not going to be there anymore unless God intervenes. I preached at a church in Natchez, Mississippi. Preached up there several times. That church has closed their doors. They're no longer there. Members left. That church was hitting 50 for Sunday school 15 years ago. But it was all older people. There's a church in Steens, Mississippi called Woodlawn Missionary Baptist Church. Right now they have a missionary as a pastor. They hadn't had a pastor in probably 8 years. The last time I went up there, the church had 9 members still in attendance. They had one family, had a couple of kids, and then the rest were older people. And unless God intervenes, that church ain't going to make it much longer. And all of these things we see, and then people will say, pray for my church and pray for my church. The thing about it is it all comes from decisions that we made. It all comes from decisions that we made. Decisions that we made to prioritize everything else except God. Decisions that we made to focus on everything except our own spiritual health, our kids' spiritual health, our church's spiritual health, and our community's spiritual health. Because we care about everything else except that. You decide to have a community get together. And you call it a party. You don't call it nothing to do with church. You call it some kind of crawfish ball or Super Bowl party or whatever it is. And you know what? You're going to have people running out your ears. They're going to be there for forever. They're going to come. They're going to have a good time. The kids are going to jump up and down. And it is going to be a grand old time. But you call it a Bible study and you're liable to be the only one there. You know I'm telling the truth. You call it anything to do with God and the crowd shuts down. Because people don't value a healthy spiritual life. We'll take care of our bodies. And some of you in here, some of you probably eat very, very, very consciously. I eat whatever my wife sets before me. And I learned that several years ago as a trick to a happy marriage. Some of you are very careful about what you put in your body through your mouth. We're a lot less careful about what we put in through our eyes. We're a lot less careful about what we put in through our ears. We care about our physical health, but we don't care about our spiritual health. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 15. God is talking to the children of Israel here in verse 26. He says, if thou wilt diligently hearken, if you will pay attention, if you will listen to me and not forget about it immediately after you leave, immediately after you walk out the doors, you're going to forget about half of what God tried to tell you through His Word this morning. You're going to forget where I read from. You're going to forget what the Spirit was speaking to you. And you're just going to let it go. He said we have to diligently hearken. And so many times in the Bible, He uses the word if. When I was in engineering class in college, they made us write code. And that's the main reason that I dropped out and became a money-making teacher. Whenever you're writing code, there's a line in there that you can include the word if. And the way that works is if the board senses this, then this will be the reaction. But if the board senses this, then this will be the reaction. It is a way to, for us, it was controlling a little rolling robot. But it's a way to control it based on the input. So if you input 1, you get a 2. If you input a 3, you get a 4. Stuff like that. Whatever you put into it, that determines what you get out of it. Whatever we put into our life determines what we get out of it. We want God to bless us, but we want to live like hell. We want to live like sin, but we want God to bless us. That's the human nature. We want to do everything but read His Word, and then we want to fall on our knees and say, God, I need Your help. God told His people, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Verse number 26 of Exodus 15. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and will keep all His statutes. If you will obey God, that's all it boils down to. If we will follow God, if we will live for God, if we will do this, then He will bless us. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said, if you obey me, I will take care of you. But what happens if you don't? They get all these diseases. They have all these problems. And I'm not saying that all problems come from disobedience, but a lot of them do. If thou will diligently hearken unto my voice, do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes. Acts chapter number 17. If you would, keep your Bibles open. We're going to flip to several places real quick. Acts chapter number 17. Verse number 11. It said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that. He's talking about the people that received the word from Paul and Silas. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. How often do we read the Bible? Ready to grow. Ready to learn. Ready to live for God. They received the gospel, the word, with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They received the word with readiness of mind. If we care about the spiritual well-being of our church, of our family, of our kids, of us as individuals, then this has to be us. We have to receive the word with readiness of mind. I was talking to somebody last week about a clock, putting a clock back there in the back of the building. And they said, I don't think we need a clock on the back wall. Y'all didn't notice the clock when you came in, did you? Okay, good. There ain't one back there yet. But anyway, I was wondering who's going to turn around. They said, I don't think we need a clock in the back of the building. I said, why not? They said, because I don't think people ought to be turning around to trying to give you a signal to hurry up and be finished. If I hear somebody jingle your keys, I'm going to jingle mine right back at you. I don't think that they should be turning around trying to figure out exactly how quick we get out of here. Because whenever we focus on what time it is, we're no longer focusing on what the Bible says. And I didn't say it, but I thought to myself, I said, well, at least that don't give them an excuse to pick their phone up. So many times I would do it in college. I would open up my laptop, sitting at a desk, the teacher's always in the front. And I would open up my laptop and I would sit my phone right inside that laptop screen. And I would just be diligently pretending like I was typing, pretending like I was working, and I wasn't no more paying attention. Ooh, I was on my phone. I was watching TV or watching YouTube or scrolling through Facebook or working on homework for another class or using my calculator when I wasn't supposed to be. Because whenever I got it out, that temptation was no longer there. I had it in my hand. I was done. I was ready. I was using it. I wasn't paying attention to anything. And that's how I made my first D. I wasn't paying attention to anything. All I cared about was what I was wanting to do and the TV series that I wanted to finish or that movie they said was so very good that I just so happened to have available to me on my iPhone. And you know what that got me? That got me absolutely nothing. I don't even remember what the movie was, but I remember that D that shows up on my transcript in Chemistry 103 with Professor Upali. Didn't speak English. So whenever I went to try to get help, there was no help. My actions had consequences. I didn't care about my educational help, and I got a D, which I never did tell my parents about because they don't mail report cards home in college. But it hurt. It hurt. But it was a consequence that I got. It was a consequence that I deserved. Because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't in my textbook. I wasn't on Moodle and using a textbook online. I wasn't paying attention to the professor or whatever kind of words and letters and numbers he was writing on the board. I just wasn't. I wasn't interested. I didn't care. And I paid a price for that. But let me tell you, that price is a lot less of a price than we're going to pay if we're dead spiritually. Look down in verse number 12. And we want to sit here just for a minute. He said, therefore, because of that, many of them believed. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spiritual help is that of one who is flatlined in the emergency room. You have no spiritual help. You are a spiritual cadaver. That's what you are. You are spiritually dead. And the Bible says that Jesus is the one who quickens us, who are dead in trespasses and sin, those who could not help themselves, those who were given over to the king of this world, that which is death. And this morning, all you have to do is to receive the word with all readiness of mind. Believe in Jesus Christ as saving of your soul, repenting of your sin. And God, for Jesus' sake, will save you. And then you'll be one of them that many of them believed. Many of them believed. If you care about your physical health, realize and understand that this body's going to burn up. That all these muscles that you keep working on, worms are going to eat them. They're just going to fall to pieces. All that pretty hair that you try to take really good care of, and my wife's that way. She's got so many shampoo bottles. Oh, my goodness. Tries to take good care of her hair. It's all going to fall out one day. It's not going to make it. 100 years from now, it's going to be gone. But what never passes away and what will never go out of existence is your eternal soul. This morning, where is your eternal soul headed? How healthy is it? What is your eternal home? Heaven or hell? And I don't want you to dare say that my church, if my name is on the church roll, I'm going to heaven. That ain't true. I was baptized one time, I'm going to heaven. That ain't true. The Bible says that you must believe. You can put your name on the church roll and still go to hell. You can teach Sunday school and still go to hell. You can be a preacher and still go to hell. The only thing that's going to keep you out of it, the only thing that's going to quicken you whenever you were dead in trespasses and sin, is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is it. That is the only way. That is the only one. And although we may take care of our spiritual body, if you never believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will lift your eyes on the devil's hell, where you will burn for all eternity and never burn up. Where you will hurt for forever and ever and ever, and you will never burn up. The Bible says the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It only gets hotter through all eternity. Your body that you took such good care of, it rotted away. But your soul that you didn't care nothing about will suffer for all eternity. And I don't want to see that. Your mom and daddy don't want to see that. Your aunt and uncles don't want to see that. Your kids don't want to see that. If we care about our families, we want to join them in heaven, don't we? If we care about our kids, we want them to join us in heaven. If we care about our church, we all want to be together in heaven. There's a song my dad and his brothers used to sing. I'm pretty sure Brother Doyle Ball sang it too. He said, I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the street of pure gold. I want us to be together in heaven. The only way that happens, the only way that you join me in heaven, because I'm the only person I know that's here saved. I don't know where the rest of you stand. You told me that you were saved, and I hope and pray that you are. But this morning, it's between you and God. I can't tell you. It's between you and God. I want us to be together in heaven. I want my wife to go with me. I want both of our kids to go with us. I want both of my parents to go with us. I want to see both of my brothers, both of my sister-in-laws, all of my grandparents, extended family, and all of you. I want us to be together in heaven. The only way that that happens is you to repent of your sins this morning. Believe in Jesus Christ as the saving of your soul. And become spiritually alive. And for those of us who are saved, I pray that we can be spiritually healthy. That we can be concerned about our spiritual well-being. That we can be concerned about our eternity. That we can be about obeying God. Hearkening in His Word, believing His statutes, and keeping His commandments. That is the whole duty of man. To fear God and keep His commandments. While we have a verse for song, we're going to ask for a verse of invitation. If someone has something on their heart, we invite.